British Sky Broadcasting presents Baby's Day Out, starring Joe Mantegna as Eddie, Lara Flynn Boyle as Lorraine, Joe Pantoliano as Norby, Brian Haley as Vico, and Cynthia Nixon as Gilbertine. The film's written by John Hughes and directed by Patrick Reed Johnson. Voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. An old-fashioned children's book entitled Baby's Day Out is taken off a shelf in a nursery. The opening title sequence is created from a montage of watercolour illustrations from the 1950s style book. In the first image, a woman in a brown dress and hat is walking away from a mansion building pushing a baby in a stroller. Then the child is pointing at a big blue bus. A smiling woman is the illustration on the next page. Then the bus is shown driving towards a city dominated by skyscrapers. The baby looks out of the bus window. A pigeon's alighting on a wall, and the top of a gate for the zoo is formed out of carvings of two elephants' trunks. The nanny moves past a cage with a big gorilla inside it. There's a colonial-style building with a banner on it saying, Old Soldiers Home. A skyscraper is being built. Two tall cranes are standing alongside it. The woman is pushing the pram towards the doors of a department store. Inside, a shop assistant smiles at the child from behind a counter. On the final page, a couple are looking through the doorway at their sleeping child. In a large nursery, a woman in her 30s with long blonde hair has a little one-year-old boy who's also blonde sitting on her lap. She's holding the open Baby's Day Out book in front of him. The child's dressed in little blue dungarees. The nanny stares at the book with a glazed expression. The baby looks round.
We've read this one 100 times. Please? Nanny Gilbertine is so tired of the boo-boo book, she could just gag.
Boo-boo!
All right, all right.
Boo-boo!
One fine and sunny day, Baby Boo's nanny Henrietta said, Baby Boo, today you shall go on a wonderful adventure. You will see the many, many sights of the big city.
The little child points at the page. Nanny Gilbertine smiles in spite of herself.
After a lovely breakfast, they walk down the lane to the corner where they boarded a big blue bus. They were on their way to the big city. Baby Boo felt very grown up indeed, for this was his first trip away from mother and father.
A young couple read newspapers in a conservatory.
Did I tell you? Baby's having his picture taken this morning.
Oh, say hello to old Willie for me.
Old Willie isn't doing it. I've hired downtown baby photographers.
Darling, old Willie's been photographing Cotwell babies since the Great Depression.
Old Willie hasn't had a picture in the paper in over 20 years. Everyone we know has had their baby's picture in the paper. Baby Bank is almost a year old and virtually unknown. I can't count the number of times I've been asked why we're keeping our baby a secret.
The man in his 30s thinks to himself.
You're right. The only way to quiet that kind of talk is to have our small-minded friends open up their newspapers and see a photograph of the prettiest baby in the city.
Gangsters push two men out of the back of a bright blue van.
Get out! Come on!
Come on, let's go. I said move it! Move it! Come on,
get up!
The men have black tights pulled over their faces. One flicks through an appointments book.
Off with the fuzzy pink and blue sweaters. Nice and slow.
Ed, does it matter which one of us wears pink or blue?
No!
Cotwell, where is that little...
At the house.
Dinner with the Westfalls tonight, my love. Be gorgeous.
Don't forget to do your breathing exercises, Dr. Phillips suggested to reduce stress.
I have breathing scheduled at 11. Peggy's been reminding me for a week.
Bless your soul.
Have a wonderful day.
Mr. Cartwell goes through the front door of his palatial mansion.
Bing? What did you forget?
An elderly butler holds out a pen.
Oh, my pen. Thank you, Andrews.
What else?
The nanny's holding his baby.
Darling, you know how I hate games in the morning.
Mrs. Cartwell glances at the child.
Oh, of course. Goodness gracious, how could I forget? Don't you get into any mischief while Dad's gone. Little. Won't it be exciting when he can understand all the wonderful things we say to him?
Bye-bye. 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 Ooh, bye-bye.
Bye-bye!
The masked gangsters stand at the back of the colourful van and remove their disguises. There's a thick-set man with short blonde hair, a bald young man with a goatee beard and a serious expression, and an older man of Italian appearance, black slicked back hair and a tan. The van heads round a corner and away from the warehouse. In the nursery, Mrs. Cartwell's tossing baby outfits onto the floor.
He can't look too butch, but he can't look too feminine. He has to look angelic, like a little prince.
That would suggest blue.
Blue? Won't that look like we're trying to match his eyes? Won't that be too obvious?
I see lots of babies with blue eyes and blue outfits.
What kind of babies? Rich babies? Pretty babies? Regular babies? Important babies?
Regular babies.
Baby Bink is not a regular baby.
Baby Bink is having his bottom powdered with a soft brush. Then Nanny Gilbertine's buffing his nails. The baby's in his cot. Nanny's attempting to pin him into a cotton nappy. Bink yawns while his hair's brushed.
No, almost done.
The pink and blue van, emblazoned with a baby's face and the legend Downtown Baby Photographer, drives around the circular driveway in the foreground of the Cartwell mansion and stops in front of the house. The three gangsters step out of the vehicle and stand at the entrance to the building. Two of them have bright cashmere sweaters and white berets, and the Italian-looking guy has round specs, curly hair, a beret, a gold tie and dark jacket.
Hello.
They look up at the mansion's Doric columns.
Get the gear. Get the gear.
You didn't say get the gear, Vico. Come on, let's go.
I'm the supervisor, you get the gear.
You got the blue sweater, you help me get the gear.
The Italian-looking guy rings the doorbell. The butler, wearing a dark suit and bow tie, opens the door. His face drops as he looks at the man in the beret in front of him.
A most pleasant and charming good day to you, sir. I am Mr. Charlie, photographer, the babe, entirely at your service.
Mr. Charlie does a deep bow. The butler raises his eyebrows.
You were expecting us.
The butler nods slightly and moves aside to let them in.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Whoa, photographic look at equipment. This place.
The disguised men wait in a large room.
Eddie.
One of the men has picked up a paperweight. Eddie approaches him looking disgruntled.
We ain't here to nick no bric-a-brac. We're here for the hit of a lifetime. You want to be a shoplifter? Go to JCPenney.
Eddie, in the Mr. Charlie disguise, sits in an armchair while the other two continue to set up lights and tripods.
You really think we can get away with this?
No. I'm here because I've got a wild curiosity about the electric chair.
Eddie blinks several times. Large wooden doors open at the side of the grand room. Baby Bink is wheeled in on a high chair wearing a blue outfit complete with a large tartan cap. He's accompanied by his mother, Nanny, and the butler. Eddie, flanked by his henchmen, stands in front of the photography equipment with a thoughtful smile. The child looks at a picture of a pig with a man's face on it in his book.
What a gorgeous baby. You must be so proud.
I'm Mrs. Cartwell.
I am Mr. Charlie. Shall we begin?
Eddie lifts the baby up out of the high chair. The child kicks him swiftly in the groin. He turns round to his colleagues with a strained look.
Mr. Francis, if you'll go to the vehicle and retrieve my light meter.
He carefully puts the baby down into the armchair. His colleague, in a pink jumper, large moustache and big round specs, sits behind the wheel of the van.
I'm going to be rich.
I want individual photos of Baby Bink.
Baby Bink? What an absolutely delightful name.
It's a pet name for Bennington.
Certainly.
I want individual photos of Baby Bink, and then I want a portrait of the two of us.
Whatever you wish, however you wish.
You've photographed the children of a number of my dear friends. Those pictures are forever appearing in newspapers and magazines.
It is true.
His picture's never been published.
That cannot be.
It's true.
I am sure in the not-so-distant future, this little fellow will be very well known.
I want your very best. I want art. I want you to set a new standard for beauty and baby photography.
I so welcome the challenge, madame. And to that end, may I ask one small favor? May I have some time alone with the child?
Mrs. Cartwell and Nanny Gilbertine both appear concerned.
Oh, I need his complete attention. The great bond between you and your son, his love for you, will distract him. I need to study his marvelous little features to learn how best to photograph him. He does well with persons he is not intimate with.
Mrs. Cartwell leans towards the nanny.
Does he? He's a friendly boy, but he may not like
me. Excellent! Madame, if I might make a suggestion. Your garment de jour, while extremely magnificent, is so colorful, I am afraid it will dominate the photograph and detract from your natural beauty.
I knew this outfit was wrong. I'll be back in 15 minutes.
Take all the time you need.
Mrs. Cartwell sprints out of the room and up the stairs.
If he gets cranky, read him his book.
How invaluable. Thank you.
He gives her a smile with a hint of a sneer. The nanny turns, somewhat troubled. Eddie glances at the baby, who stares blankly back at him. The butler closes the door behind himself as he leaves. Nanny Gilbertine rushes up the stairs. Mrs. Cartwell runs down them, spotting the butler.
Mr. Andrews, hurry to the attic and get the winter wardrobe.
But madam...
Hurry, Gilbertine!
In the reception room, Eddie is holding the baby. He moves to the side of the room, puts down the book, and carefully passes Bink through the open window to his pink-jumpered colleague, who positions the child in a baby seat in the back of the van.
There you go. Dude. Take the book!
The book, Baby's Day Out, is passed through the window. Then, with Eddie at the wheel, the colourful, boxy van moves swiftly up the driveway, Mrs. Cartwell still struggling into a black petticoat.
Bink really deserves this moment in the spotlight. It's too bad the baby pictures don't go on the front page. Ma'am?
Yeah.
The hijacked van slowly enters a wooded area and comes to a stop. The hoodlums get out of the vehicle and scamper towards a waiting beige transit van.
We gotta make this fast!
They remove their moustaches, wigs, and disguises. The blonde baddie carries the little child gingerly towards the transit van. Mrs. Cartwell, now in her pearls and a sleek black and white dress, hurries back towards the drawing room, with Gilbertine trying to zip up her dress. Andrews opens the doors for her.
I'm sorry it took so long.
They all stop with looks of confusion. The lighting equipment and tripods have been abandoned next to the armchair.
Where's Bink?
A note using letters cut out from a magazine is standing on a desk. It says, "We have your baby. Don't call the police." Mr. Cartwell's in the back of his limousine looking worried. He's holding another note which says, "We have your baby. Put $5 million in a trash bag in the alley behind the Ovaltine factory. No police." The hands of an old clock tick just past 11 o'clock. It's part of a large sign saying "Time for Flavor" on top of a tall triangular building on a street corner. In a rundown apartment in the uppermost part of the building, the bald baddie, Norby, now wearing a hat, is holding up a disposable nappy in front of Baby Bink, who's sitting on a little table looking up at him. His blonde colleague lights a nearby stove, on top of which is a pot. Eddie's sitting reading a newspaper nearby.
Eddie!
You're a smart guy. How do you tell the front from the back on these diapers?
Are there pockets in the front?
The younger guy looks at the nappy.
Very funny. The front and the back are the same.
Then it probably don't make no difference. Put them in them regular baby clothes. That fruit suit's a dead giveaway that he's a rich kid.
Norby awkwardly presses the child onto its back on the table. He clumsily removes items of clothing. The little boy's leggings snap into Norby's face. He grimaces before he attempts to get to grips with the nappy. Then he frustratedly dresses the baby, one item of clothing at a time. A shoe bounces back in his face. Binks now dressed in denim dungarees and an orange striped top. Norby looks exhausted. Vico, the blonde hoodlum, offers the child a bottle of milk.
Ed. How do I know this milk won't burn the kid's throat? If that matters.
Try it on some skin first.
He's about to put some on his wrist, but he takes off Norby's hat and pours it on his head.
Ow! Ow! Ah! Ah! Ow! What's the matter with you? I better let it cool down.
Norby smacks Vico on the back of the head.
You like that? Eddie! Watch the baby.
He smacks Vico again.
Very good. Now see if it works the other way.
Vico wallops Norby and floors him. Vico smiles and nods at Eddie.
It works.
Eddie nods back with a wry smile. Norby gets up slowly. Baby Bink gives him a toothy grin.
Put him in the bedroom. The more he sleeps, the less attention he draws from the neighbors. And keep an eye on him.
Here you go, kid.
That little doo-doo machine is my retirement money.
Have a nappy nap time, little jerk.
Norby puts the child down on a brown double bed.
Go to sleep real nice. Cause Mr. Teddy Bear over here, he's been up all night drinking with the Barbie dolls and he needs his rest. All right, drink your milk. Take your nap. Drink your milk, take your nap!
But the child just looks back at him rather anxiously.
Eddie!
What?
You got any suggestions how you get these things to eat and sleep?
Sing them a song.
Vico, in front of a large bowl of cereal, smiles to himself. Norby looks at the kid. The child looks away. Norby takes off his hat and rubs his head.
Mary had a little lamb. Little lamb. Little lamb. Mary had a little lamb. Her hair was white as snow. And every which way that Mary went, the lamb was right behind her. It followed her to wake one day, wake one day, wake one day. It followed her to wake one day, and Mary lost her job.
Baby Bink looks confused.
Eddie! What else did Mary's little lamb do?
Didn't he put Humpty Dumpty back together again?
That's Nat King Cole.
Nat King Cole stuck his finger in the pie and yanked out the bird.
How can a lamb put a Humpty together again? He ain't got fingers.
And then she went to unemployment.
Norby, knock off the singing and read him his storybook.
Vico holds up Baby's Day Out.
If you can.
Norby catches the book and sits on the bed.
What are your stories? Let's see here. What do we got here?
Vico, munching his cereal, sits forward in his seat, smiling. Norby stares at the words on the page in front of him.
Manny and Baby Boo strolled through the great big deep
Department
store. How
many, many things there were to buy.
Or steal if I was writing that book.
Or steal if I was writing this book.
A dark saloon car speeds down the driveway towards the Cartwell mansion. It stops behind a couple of parked police cars. Inside the drawing room, a detective puts the paperweight in a plastic evidence bag. The rug is being hoovered methodically. Mrs. Cartwell comes down the stairs in a grey trouser suit. Gilbertine follows her down. She moves through the hallway where detectives are interviewing the staff. A tall man in a grey suit and striped tie calls her over.
Mrs. Cartwell, Dale Grissom, FBI. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
You'll have to ask me later. I'm going to look for my baby.
I'd rather you didn't. I need you here.
Don't coddle me, Mr. Grissom.
Mrs. Cartwell, there are 5 million people in this city and thousands of places where your boy could be. Now, it would be pointless and dangerous for you to go out searching for your baby. Now, I've been through a number of these cases. I understand how you feel.
Have you ever lost a child?
No, ma'am.
Then you can't possibly know how I feel.
I apologize. But would you stay here, please, for your baby's sake?
With tears welling up in her eyes, Mrs. Cartwell thinks to herself and sighs. She looks at the detective with resolve. Norby is asleep on the bed, cuddling a teddy. Baby Bink is sitting up next to him, turning the pages of the Baby's Day Out book. One page shows the blue bus disappearing over a hill. The next is of the mother and child within the bus looking out at the skyscrapers and cranes in the big city. Baby Bink looks at a pigeon which has landed on a bit of roof outside the open window. The child turns the page and sees an illustration of two pigeons on top of a wall. Vico and Eddie are sitting in the next room watching TV. Vico's biting his nails. Baby Bink taps the sleeping Norby on the side of the face. The child clambers over the pillows and out of the window onto a suspended metal staircase outside. Norby continues to sleep, cuddling the teddy bear. The baby crawls up the staircase, at the top of which is one of the pigeons. The bird flies away. Down below, Vico continues biting his nails. Eddie's doing a crossword in his paper. Baby Bink is sitting on a gangway looking up at a pigeon perched on the sign. Vico spits a nail clipping towards the middle of the room. Eddie appears to be puzzling over a clue. Eddie glares at Vico.
Do you gotta do that?
I like to look nice.
You gotta spit?
I don't know about you, but I don't eat pieces of my body.
Eddie ponders this for a moment, then goes back to his crossword. Up on the roof, Baby Binks reached a skylight with a missing pane of glass. He peers down at the room below. A big droplet of dribble is hanging off his chin. It falls onto the back of Eddie's neck. Eddie looks up slowly with increasing anger. He touches the back of his neck, a little shocked. He looks at his fingertips, then at Vico.
What?
He slaps Vico round the head.
What'd I do?
You spit on me.
I did not.
Somebody did, and you're the only one in the room.
Eddie and Vico look up at the skylight, first casually, then in shock. They jump to their feet and burst into the bedroom to find Norby still asleep.
You jerk!
Eddie climbs onto the bed.
Quiet! You're gonna wake up the baby!
The baby's on the roof!
Baby Bink is crawling along the flat roof. A pigeon's on the edge of a plank which is overhanging the building. Vico kicks Norby out of the window. Norby's doubled up over the staircase railing with fear.
Hurry! Come on, hurry!
Eddie spots Baby Bink crawling onto the long, overhanging plank. The infant crawls over the point of balance and the plank lowers a little. Eddie grimaces. Baby Bink's nearly reached the bird. The plank suddenly lowers at speed, depositing Bink on the roof of the adjacent building and cracking Eddie under the chin with its other end.
Eddie!
Ed! Hey, Ed, what happened?
Eddie, are you okay?
Bink crawls off the plank, which strikes Eddie over the head.
People shouldn't leave these things lying around.
What are you doing? Don't!
It was in the way.
Bink crawls towards an open window.
What happened?
All right, pick him up.
Eddie! Ed, you're drooling.
Eddie, come on. Come on, Ed. Come on. Come on.
Eddie, all right. What happened?
You're all right.
Eddie!
The infant's sitting in a kitchen.
Oh, great. It's gonna be at least 1,000 feet. Ed! Huh? We're gonna have to jump!
We're gonna jump?
Yes! Three!
Okay.
Ready?
Okay.
One!
One! To two!
Two! Three!
Three!
Norby and Vico clear the gap between the buildings. Eddie plummets downwards onto a protruding air vent. His colleagues get to their feet smiling.
Eddie!
The air vent breaks off from the wall. Eddie crashes into flower pots, then a clothesline on his way down. He hangs onto a bird feeder stuck to a window. As the two hoodlums watch from the rooftop, the feeder's rubber suckers disengage from the glass. He lands in a heap in a little wooden lean-to. A cable he's attached to pulls an aerial off a chimney and down on top of him. Inside the building, a delivery man comes out of a lift with some boxes on a sack truck. Baby Bink is trying to reach a doorknob in the lounge of one of the apartments. The man lifts a box off the truck. Bink bangs on the door. Not noticing the child, a disgruntled-looking woman in curlers and a dressing gown enters the lounge and trudges to the front door.
What?
Package.
Where do you want me to sign?
Anywhere's fine.
The little boy's crawled out of the apartment and into the lift. He starts to play with one of the boxes.
Have a nice day.
The lift door closes. Vico and Norby burst through a door onto the street.
This way. This way.
Baby Bink starts to crawl through a side door wedged open with one of the boxes. The two hoodlums reach the wooden lean-to, which Eddie's lying on with a dazed expression. Bink crawls along the pavement beside them.
Ed! Are you all right?
How could it be all right? This guy fell off a building! Tell me, got contusions, concussions, contractions. What's the matter with you?
Passing through the legs of several people waiting at the side of the road, the child looks round at an old-fashioned blue bus which pulls up. It's almost identical to the blue bus in his book. Baby Bink smiles and watches the commuters climb aboard. Norby and Vico help Eddie to his feet.
Okay, just take it easy. Eddie, how you feeling?
Eddie, how many fingers I got up?
Two.
Not you. Hey, Eddie, say something. Here, put him here.
Sit down on the bench. Sit down. You okay?
Eddie, when we first hit your fall, our first thoughts were with you and your family should you not survive.
I prayed, Eddie.
Shut up!
Eddie spots the little child on the bus with his face up against the window. The three men stare open-mouthed as the vehicle moves off. They jump to their feet and start to run after it. Then their yellow transit van careers in and out of the lane behind the bus.
All right, take it easy. Take it easy. You want to maybe get to the right of them?
The stout bus driver looks in his wing mirror as the transit van lurches alongside his vehicle.
Please, Eddie, come on. We don't want to get a ticket.
The driver chuckles and the bus turns a corner.
Get to the right, Eddie. Get to the right.
Oh, the bus. Shut up!
The van swerves around the corner too.
The lady in front of you.
I'll jump on the back.
Don't make me nuts!
Okay, don't get crazy.
The van is catching up with the bus.
Just drive, I'll tell you.
There he is! Got him!
The bus turns a corner.
He's gone! We lost him!
The van pulls a tight turn across lanes of traffic and speeds down an alleyway running parallel to the main road.
Look both ways! You hit a cat.
There's the bus, Eddie. You see it?
See the bus, Norby.
You're getting ahead of us, Eddie. There's the bus again.
A portly woman puts a woven straw shopping bag on the floor of the bus next to Baby Bink.
Driver, next stop, please.
The infant peers with curiosity into the bag and falls into it. The transit van swerves round a corner out of another alley and into the main road. The bus is about to crash into the side of the van. The van reverses, the bus passes.
There's the bus!
I see the bus!
Get him!
Norby rushes after the bus.
Wait! Stop the bus! Oh, I forgot something! Stop the bus! Wait! Hello! Stop the bus!
The portly woman's got off the bus with a little boy in her shopping bag.
Hey!
Norby prizes open the bus's doors and falls forwards.
Did baby get off this bus? A little guy, about 2 feet tall. It's an emergency.
I didn't have nobody today with a baby.
He was by himself.
The driver shuts the doors.
What?
He must have got off.
Oh, great. We're through.
The portly woman pushes up against Eddie.
If you didn't park your van on the sidewalk, people could get by a lot easier.
She squeezes through the gap between the van and the wall.
If you'd limit yourself to a couple of pork roasts a day, you wouldn't need to worry about it.
You heard me.
The woman glares at Fico but moves through the gap on the other side of the van.
Sup, people.
Vico spots Baby Bink in the shopping bag.
Eddie, how could he get off?
I seen him.
What?
He's in the big brother's purse.
Yeah, this is Carl in 157. You know anything about a missing baby?
What? Yeah, I see her. How can you miss her? Look, she's as big as a building.
The three men are following the large lady.
Will you stop? What are we doing?
You're gonna give her a sandwich. Listen, give her a sandwich.
She don't need a sandwich. Look at her.
That's my whole point.
Eddie turns round quickly. The men are very close behind the woman as they come round a corner. Eddie slaps Vico in the stomach. The woman puts down the shopping bag and swings her handbag at the men. She gets Vico in a headlock and punches him repeatedly in the face.
We'll give her a sandwich, huh? Big as a building, huh? Not so easy making jokes with my fist in your mouth, is it?
I'm not afraid of you.
Come on, she's crazy.
Anybody else want to take a shot?
The three men run back round the corner.
Chicken!
As if remembering her manners, the woman touches her hair primly. Binker's crawled up to the edge of a revolving door, which he watches spin round. He enters one of the door's compartments and presses his face against the glass. He sits on his bum, and one of the door leaves turns and sends him sliding across the floor into a huge department store. He crawls contentedly along the marble flooring through the stream of people pouring in and out of the shop. Up above him, the store extends upwards by at least 10 floors. A lady in a white blouse with a pastel-striped apron now stands over him. Bink looks up at her.
How did you get out of Mother Goose Corner?
The young woman carries the child towards a nappy changing area, above which, in gold letters, the legend, Mother Goose Corner. Bink's laid onto a changing table.
So, you got a nasty little surprise for me?
The little boy smiles at her. The three crooks take a breather in front of a TV store.
You guys are worthless!
Yeah, right, Eddie. Blame us!
You know, I'm getting sick of your insults.
Then why don't you quit?
Oh, yeah, and let you two have all the money.
What money? The king is gone!
There you go, my little escape artist.
The little boy is put into a toddler's creche.
Now, if you were a baby lost in the big city, where would you go?
A mother with a toddler in a stroller next to her is paying the lady at the creche reception. Baby Bink spots a juice bottle in the tray under the stroller. As the woman pushes the pram, Bink has hitched a ride, lying on his back on the tray, drinking the juice contentedly. Meanwhile, Mrs. Cartwell's lost in thought at her house, with the TV on in the background.
Speculation that a ransom figure in the millions of dollars was mentioned.
Mansion and at Cutwell Industry Towers downtown. Ronnie Lee has more on the story. Ronnie?
There's no official word from police, but our sources tell us
that a 9-month-old baby boy was abducted at approximately 10 o'clock this morning. We have confirmed that a photographer and two assistants from the downtown baby photographer studio were scheduled to photograph the missing child at the Wallington Hills estate today. A spokesman for the photography studio declined to comment.
In the shop, the lady stops the stroller and moves away from it. The empty juice bottle tumbles onto the floor. The little child in the pushchair looks round as Baby Bink crawls back towards the revolving door. Bink smiles as he enters one of its compartments. He sits up and screws his nose up with delight as the door revolves and he's pushed outside. He crawls under the legs of a news reporter and the cord of her microphone catches on his arm.
In fact, police and FBI units have essentially sealed off the area. Earlier, I attempted to reach millionaire Bennington Cotwell at his downtown office. Though reporters were turned away, a reliable source informed us that Cotwell had left by motor.
Bink sees a parked yellow taxi, just like in his book.
A spokesman for the company said that Mr. Cotwell was unavailable. Whoop.
Mrs. Cotwell looks away as her TV shows Bink tangled in the microphone cord.
Hang on a second. Keep rolling. Okay.
The hoodlums outside the TV shop rush across the street to where a crowd has gathered round the news reporter. Bink's crawling across the pavement in the direction of the taxi, the doors of which are open.
Be sure they don't tip over now.
He crawls onto the back seat. The crooks search between the feet of the crowd.
Even when what they're looking for is right behind them. And,
A rich elderly woman has her bags put onto the back seat next to Bink. Eddie looks at the taxi and spots the little boy grinning at him out of the back window. The taxi pulls away. The kidnappers start to give chase, then give up. Eddie rubs his brow frustratedly.
You know, we're always like this close.
In the drawing room of their mansion, Mr. and Mrs. Cartwell are sitting by a phone. Agent Grissom in a nearby armchair gives them a nod, and Mr. Cartwell carefully lifts the receiver. Other detectives listen through monitoring equipment.
Hello.
Hello, is this Mr. Cartwell?
Yes, who is this?
My name's Depke Joe Depke. Listen, I might have some information on the whereabouts of that child.
Police cars have sealed off a street in a downtown area. A thick-set man sitting in his front yard in a vest and open checked shirt is talking to Grissom and the Cartwells.
I seen the baby.
Where?
Right across the street on the curb.
Where'd he go?
Where'd he go?
He touches the side of his head.
That's the craziest thing. I don't remember.
Maybe we'll take a little ride. See if you remember then.
Think it'll help?
You want money?
Scott,
don't embarrass me. Okay, that's fine. How much
don't
do you
want? Don't insult me. Please, your money's no good here. Put it away, huh?
Where's the baby?
House across the street. Second floor.
Cartwell gives him more money.
McCrae's. No guarantee. Listen, mister, I didn't know your kid. I just saw his picture on TV. I called because I care.
The man leans back in his chair and counts the cash. A mousy-looking blonde woman opens the door of her apartment.
Your name's McCrae?
Yeah, what did I do?
We're looking for a missing child.
These are my kids.
You don't mind if we take a look?
The dark-haired FBI man barges past her. Grissom and the Cartwells linger near the door.
Hello, ma'am.
The blonde woman nods sheepishly. Mrs. Cartwell stares at her coldly and looks down at a little blonde girl who waves.
Hi.
Grissom smiles at the child good-naturedly.
Sir, in here.
Grissom and the Cartwells march into the next room. Mrs. Cartwell stops for a moment, then rushes over to a cot where an infant is sitting with its back to the group. She crouches beside it. The blonde woman enters the room but stays beside the FBI man. The little child looks round at the rich woman chewing on a plastic toy. Mrs. Cartwell's bottom lip quivers. She tries to hold back her tears. As the others look on, she slowly stands and turns round to face the blonde mother.
You have a beautiful little boy. Thank you, ma'am.
Mrs. Cartwell moves past her.
I pray he comes back to you. These kids are all I've got, so I know how I'd feel if I was in your place.
I hope you never are. For your children's sake.
Mrs. Cartwell leaves the room. The other lady goes over to the cot, picks up the baby, and gives him a kiss.
Sorry we inconvenienced.
Mr. Cartwell lingers for a moment.
Sorry for the trouble.
Sir, I believe in my heart that someone somewhere watches over the babies.
Cartwell's expression is careworn.
Yes, I hope so.
The yellow taxi has stopped outside an upmarket apartment block with the name Hampton House written across the front awning. The taxi driver is laden with shopping bags. He closes the car door with his foot. Baby Binks crawled under the vehicle. He crawls out the other side and looks across a busy, multi-lane carriageway at a set of large ornamental gates on the opposite side of the road. It matches the gate saying zoo in his book. He starts to crawl across the road.
I can't believe this! You know, it ain't the wisest strategy to kidnap a baby and then let the damn thing loose on the streets. Babies crawling in traffic tend to draw attention, don't you think?
Baby Bink has now crawled halfway across the busy road. He stops for a moment on one of its white lines and continues across.
To the left, I think. See? Cap!
The van crashes into the back of the parked taxi. Eddie and the others get out of their vehicle, and as Baby carries on across the road, they fling the doors of the taxi open. Vico looks under the driver's seat. Norby looks out of the side window.
Ah! My money!
Baby Bink stops in the middle of a lane as a lorry passes straight over him. Vico and Norby open the roadside doors of the taxi. They get out to the other side.
What, I park in your space? Come on, come on! Wait, cars, go!
The three crooks try and cross the busy road. Baby Bink crawls through the zoo entrance.
Okay, I got a plan. No, wait, hang on, wait.
Hey
there! Baby! Okay, I got this. Hang on, wait. Okay, two, three, go.
Whoa.
A truck drives across the feet of the kidnappers. They scamper gingerly across the road and leap over a hedge beside the pavement. They plunge downwards. A workman's sign says, caution, open pit. Then they're limping along a path in the zoo grounds.
I worked at Burger King 3 years. This is worse than that.
Don't blame me. We'd be resting easy if Butterfingers here hadn't lost the kid.
I lost the kid! Oh, what? That's news to me.
Who put himself to sleep reading the kid's nursery story?
Who let the window open?
Norby pulls Vico's finger.
That was me.
You idiots are the reason we don't got the kid. As far as I'm concerned, you can drop out now, and I'll keep the $5 million myself. Frankly, you don't deserve a penny.
You stiff us.
Wait a minute! Don't get hot, Eddie. Don't get hot. Whoa, just a little tired from getting all torn apart.
Oh, like I like to fall off buildings and jump in ditches. That's the brakes. We're dealing with a baby. Babies are obviously more dangerous than we thought.
Don't figure, Eddie. They're so small.
When I boxed, the guys I most feared were the ones who feared nothing. Babies are like that. They ain't afraid of nothing.
They look down at tiny hand markings in the sandy path.
Baby tracks.
Their eyes follow the route of the prints, and they see a large brick building with an arched front ahead of them. Both running and limping, the three men rush towards it. They swing open a glass door, above which is the sign Apes. There are several indoor enclosures, each one fronted by iron bars. Vico makes a monkey gesture, putting his fingers to his lips. A huge silverback gorilla watches them from within his cage. Vico nods at him. The ape half shuts his eyes with a hint of a sneer. The three men walk the length of the ape house. Eddie notices that Norby is brushing the front of his coat. They turn and start to head back towards the entrance, checking under a bench as they go. Norby takes off his cap and wearily rubs his head. They each stop, turn, and look at the gorilla's cage. Baby Bink crawls out from under the primate's arm. The gorilla roars, a school party near the exit scream, a chimp squeals. Eddie looks at the school kids and turns his yell to a forced laugh. The kids laugh back half-heartedly. Norby and Vico join in too. The children leave the ape house. The three kidnappers stand in front of the gorilla cage again.
The kid's in the gorilla cage.
There goes our $5 million, huh?
I think the ape likes the kid.
The gorilla passes Baby Bink half an apple from its bowl of fruit. The child starts to eat it. Eddie's staring pointedly at Vico.
What?
You got long arms.
Norby quickly stuffs his hands in his pockets.
Thanks.
The child continues munching the apple. Vico's leaned right into the cage and has a fingertip grip on one of Bink's shoelaces. The gorilla watches them. Bink sliding towards the bars. The gorilla presses the lace on the child's other shoe to the floor. Vico looks up at the animal and attempts a smile. The primate drags Bink back towards his side of the cage. He lets go of the lace and looks at the men suspiciously. Vico gives the gorilla his politest smile and resumes pulling Bink back towards the bars. Bink's unhappy.
Come on, Eddie. He's gonna make the monkey mad. Eddie, he's getting up. Please, stare him down.
The gorilla sits down beside the bars in between Vico and Bink.
That's it.
The great ape thumps his fist down onto Vico's hand. The blonde bad guy makes a little smile and carefully retracts his hand from the cage. He turns to Norby, who has a sympathetic expression. He steps over the rail and sits on a bench holding his wrist. The gorilla roars and throws down a banana skin. Norby and Eddie step over the guardrail and stand in front of Vico. Eddie shakes his head disapprovingly. He turns and spots a mop in a bucket nearby. He looks round at Norby with a knowing smile. In the cage, Baby Bink is bashing on the metal fruit bowl in front of the seated gorilla. With a rather pathetic expression, Norby moves round the front of the cage holding the mop near to the base of its wooden pole. His eyes remain fixed on the gorilla as he tries to lower the mop into the cage. Eddie, standing nearby, gives him encouraging gestures. The gorilla is glaring at Norby. Norby retracts the pole.
Hey, King Kong, hey, over here. I'm a banana. I'm a coconut. I'm an entire fruit salad. Over here, hey, look, I'm the Jungle Boy. Over here. That's it. You got it.
He's hooked the rod under Bink's clothes.
I got him.
Norby picks the child up off the floor and towards the bars of the cage. He nods. The gorilla picks the infant from off the end of the pole.
Bad monkey.
The gorilla shoves the pole downward, sending Norby flying up to the ceiling. He lands in a heap on the floor. A little chimpanzee flinches. Vico slowly looks round at the great ape. A sign says, "For your safety, do not cross the guardrails." Later, the boy and the gorilla are asleep next to each other on their backs. Eddie is standing by the cage bars looking thoughtful. He turns round. Both Norby and Vico are now seated on the bench. Eddie makes a no problems gesture with his hands and points into the cage. Norby exchanges glances with Vico. Very tentatively, Eddie reaches back into the gorilla cage. With great care, he pulls at the child's feet. Baby Bink remains asleep as he slides gradually back towards the bars. The gorilla stirs. Eddie pauses. Eddie stares nervously at the beast. With some relief, he recommences his mission. The child starts to slide very slowly off the arm of the sleeping gorilla and back towards Eddie. The gangster looks increasingly delighted with his efforts. The baby stirs slightly. The gorilla wakes. He looks up and grabs Eddie's wrists. Then he clamps hold of the top of Eddie's arms. Schoolchildren are fleeing in terror outside. Eddie's hair is pushed back by the force of the roar. Clenching the man's biceps, the huge creature lifts Eddie up a few feet from the ground, then flings him backwards through the air. He crashes into the bars of an orangutan cage on the opposite side of the ape house. Two monkeys look round. The orangutan claps his hands. Eddie's stuck in a semi-seated position halfway up the bars, which were bent by the force of the impact. Baby Bink picks up his apple. Behind him, a door slides upwards out to the gorilla's exterior enclosure. The primate turns and heads towards it. Vico and Norby hobble over to their colleague. Norby looks round and watches Baby Bink crawl after the great ape into the outdoor enclosure. The gorilla sits by the bars of this cage and watches as the baby slides under them and down over a low wall onto the grass. The gorilla looks at the boy sadly. Baby Bink smiles back at him and, dropping onto his knees, he crawls away. The cage door slides shut.
I know you don't want to hear this, but the kid's gone again.
Eddie doesn't move. He's wedged in amongst the bars. A city park. Some pigeons fly off the base of a statue. A squirrel's munching some peanuts. Baby Bink standing leaning on a stone bench watching the people in the crowded park. Two little boys are playing with a frisbee. A little girl in a pink jacket's being pushed along in a stroller. A young mum and her son are playing with a catapult. An older boy is flying a brightly coloured kite. Meanwhile, Mrs. Cartwell is standing in the middle of her staircase, staring out of a window, looking utterly miserable. Her husband takes a few steps into the hall, and looking towards her, he stops.
This morning, all I wanted was my baby's picture in the paper.
She turns round to face him, holding a newspaper.
I got my wish.
There's a picture of Bink smiling, with the headline, Happier Times.
Where's your mommy?
In the park, a blonde woman's bending down towards the child. They look round to where another woman's reading a book on a rug. She gives the blonde woman a contented smile. The blonde woman nods slightly and walks away, pushing her stroller in front of her. Baby Bink lowers himself down onto the grass. The gangster's transit van is moving very slowly along a road in the park. Vico's looking through a glass observation dome in the roof of the vehicle. He returns to the front of the van.
Hey, Eddie. Maybe you went down a rabbit hole.
We're serious about our work. You want to make jokes? Join the circus.
Norby and Vico slap each other.
Bozo.
Vico goes back to the little dome. Bink is crawling along a patch of lawn that the van passes.
Oh! Step on it, Eddie. Baby, starboard side. Starboard.
What?
Port.
What's
port.
What,
port.
Port.
Point. 9 o'clock.
Point. To the
Eight. Point. Point. He's over here. 6:30.
Bink crawls under a shrub.
Step on it! You're ours now, money bags.
The van careers up some stone steps and pulls a U-turn. Bink watches and chuckles. The vehicle stops next to him. Eddie gets out and bends down over the child.
Did Baby Bink miss his Uncle Eddie?
The little boy crawls into the undergrowth. Eddie fails to grab him.
Get him!
The three men scamper round a shrub-covered patch. They enter the area and start to push back the undergrowth.
Where'd he go?
He went down a rabbit hole.
Careful, those rabbits don't chew your face off, Ed. Shut up, Vico. Just shut up!
Binks in a concrete tube.
No problem, fellas. It ain't a hole, it's a tunnel. Oh. And what's every tunnel got?
Ooh, don't tell me. I know. It's a toll
booth at the end. Are you always this stupid, or do you do this just to annoy me? A tunnel has two ends. This one's here, and the other one's... wherever.
The two henchmen scamper after Eddie. They sprint across a road. A police car appears over the horizon. The three crooks rush down a little slope, sticking out of which is a narrow concrete pipe.
Eddie!
Get him, Norby! Get him!
Don't let him get away!
Norby lifts up the little boy with a smile.
Today ain't your lucky day, eh, Shorty Pants?
That wasn't so hard.
They stop as they watch two policemen walking around their parked van. Norby passes Bink to Vico, who passes him to Eddie. They all turn and walk in the opposite direction very swiftly. The policemen cross the road and head slowly down the little slope. The three kidnappers are now sitting on a nearby bench facing the officers who stand in front of them. Eddie has a bundle concealed under his jacket on his lap.
Yes?
Yeah. Yes, I thought so. My brother drives one of those for this dry cleaning firm he's with.
Oh, yeah. They drive a lot of those.
I know he's had a lot of trouble with his. Give me a second. I'll think of what he said is a problem with the electrical system.
Alternator?
No.
Carburetor?
No.
There's this little relay thing.
Vico!
I think you should move the van. I have a frog in my throat.
Okay, I'm gonna move
the van.
I had
a brush fire in my undershorts. Get him out of here!
It's just a bad battery. I think we should move it before the engine dies.
Yeah, just a battery. Let's get out of here. Come on, let's...
A cigarette lighter has been lit underneath Eddie's jacket on his lap. The policeman sniffs and turns to Eddie, who's trying to look casual.
You sure can tell summer's here. People got those barbecues going.
The crotch of Eddie's trousers are alight.
Okay, doesn't it?
Come on, let's go move the van.
Yeah, you shouldn't leave your van.
Bink pushes the lighter against Eddie's leg and climbs off the bench.
I'll be right with you.
Vico looks back at Eddie.
I just had a cramp in my leg.
Wisps of smoke are starting to appear under the bench. Bink crawls off into the undergrowth. The police car pulls away from the van. Norby and Vico salute the cops. Eddie waves hysterically and pulls back the jacket. He stands up. The crotch of his trousers is now fully alight. He twists round. His companions rush back to him. Norby flaps his hands in front of the flames. Eddie continues dancing around. Vico throws Eddie down on the ground and stamps repeatedly on his crotch. With a menacing expression, Vico really slams his foot into Eddie's groin, pressing down hard. The flames subside.
That's how you put out campfires.
Is that a fact?
Let's do it, Boy Scouts.
They help Eddie up.
You toasted your marshmallows over a pile of flaming donuts!
We usually used logs.
Eddie pushes him backwards.
Follow that kid! We'll meet you on the other side!
I'm sorry, man, but it was an emergency. You're blazing pretty hard.
Shut up!
Vico turns with a resentful expression. He rubs the back of his neck and heads off towards the shrubbery. Norby bends down and looks at Eddie's smoking trousers.
Oh, boy, Eddie. You got burned clear through your skivvies.
Eddie knees him in the face. Eddie hobbles back towards the van. In her mansion, Mrs. Cartwell opens the door to the nursery. She lingers for a moment, then with a somber expression, she takes a few steps inside. She picks up a little baby quilt and looks down at it thoughtfully. Nanny Gilbertine is sitting in the bay window, staring outside. Mrs. Cartwell looks up at her, then makes a polite cough. The nanny looks round with tears in her eyes.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
She stands and starts to tidy up some of the baby's clothes.
I haven't forgotten your feelings.
Oh, my feelings don't matter.
Mrs. Cartwell steps towards the nanny and watches her fold some little tartan trousers.
My baby's gotten has been as much yours as mine. Probably more.
Gilbertine looks tearfully at her employer. Mrs. Cartwell shakes her head.
Where's my little boy? What's he doing?
Nanny Gilbertine attempts a smile.
If he were home, he'd be going down for his nap.
An older workman in an orange hard hat is sitting at the entrance to a building site, fast asleep. Sitting in the middle of the entry road into the site, Binks looking up with wide-eyed fascination. Workmen are welding girders together on several floors of a multi-story building. The sparks from their equipment shower downwards like fluorescent rain. Baby Bink appears transfixed by the droplets of light. The infant looks at a hook which is being lowered slowly from a crane. Two workmen in hard hats carefully take hold of the descending hook, and as Bink watches, they attach it to a platform containing building equipment. A bulldozer drives slowly over the top of the little boy and continues into the site. Bink stares upwards at the skyscraper which is being built. The metal skeleton is already in place, and a workman's elevator is running up and down outside it, but it doesn't yet have a covering or walls. Bink watches a man in an orange shirt and hard hat take a bite out of a ring donut. The man chews it slowly. Bink grins as he watches. He crawls along the sand and dirt towards the building. The workman puts his donut down on the end of a steel girder. Vico hops over a little bush at the edge of City Park, then runs off. Bink has reached the steel girder where the man is working. He pulls himself up and looks at the donut. Vico comes round a corner into a busy street. He rushes across the road. Bink has climbed up onto the girder. Vico rushes along a pavement covered by a scaffolding canopy. He walks past the building site entrance and stops. Bink has picked up the donut. Vico glances at the sleeping workman on sentry duty. As Bink starts to munch the donut, the girder is lifted by crane with the child perched on the end of it into the sky. Vico turns round with a look of absolute horror. The yellow transit van comes round the corner of the street. It stops beside some bollards. Vico strides up to the driver's window and appears nervous.
I got bad news. The kids... in there. No, wait. Okay, hang on. Eddie, there's a guard. Eddie, no! Eddie, wait! No! Wait, there's a guard! There's a guard!
He's asleep, you moron.
They march into the site. Vico rubs the back of his neck and points upwards half-heartedly. Eddie stares up at the girder.
Of course. Where else would you be?
Baby Bink is enjoying his ride, munching on the donut.
Let's go get him.
The crooks walk swiftly towards one of the workmen's lifts, waiting next to a wooden platform, which the men climb up onto. They enter the lift, and orange sliding doors shut from top and bottom. The elevator rises up the side of the building. Vico and Eddie are staring up at the girder above them. Norby is looking resolutely downwards. The girder continues its journey high up into the sky.
Eddie! Baby, 12 o'clock.
Norby looks at his watch. Eddie's confused.
Up there.
Eddie looks out of the front of the lift as it passes the rising girder.
We'll be with you in just a minute.
The lift comes to a stop. Norby's leaning against its wall queasily.
Andre, home crazies, men's heads, babies.
Vico grabs Norby and pushes him out.
Wait a minute. We passed him.
Exactly, moron. We'll grab him as he goes by.
Yeah, that's a good plan, Ed. We grab him as he comes by.
You grab him.
Vico's face drops.
I grab him.
Right. As the girder comes up, you jump out on it and grab the baby.
Me? By myself?
You just step out on it. It ain't difficult.
Why me?
Norby's just scared of heights.
Why don't you grab him?
Nobody asked me.
Oh.
The city street is 100 feet below. The girder continues to rise towards them.
I get it.
Norby averts his eyes. Vico's pushed onto the girder. Vico's weight has upset the balance and the girder tilts upwards sharply. Vico slips off it and grabs the end of it with his fingertips. Bink slides down and is deposited onto the top of a passing elevator, which heads downwards.
Baby luck.
The lift stops a few stories down and Bink crawls onto another floor. He watches a platform upon which is an oil drum and building equipment, being lifted up by another crane. Vico's hanging off the end of the girder.
Eddie! Help me!
He acts for you, Ed.
He ain't thinking straight. Don't look back.
What are you doing? Eddie! Eddie! Look at me!
And I tell you not to look down, huh?
Pull me back, please!
I'm losing my grip.
Hey, pull me back, please.
Grab him by the leg.
Pull my kid.
Grab him by the leg or I'll let you go.
Don't look down.
Okay, we got him.
There you go. Okay, good. You got him.
But Eddie lets go of Norby, who's hanging on to Vico, who's hanging on to the girder. The girder swings towards the building.
Throw it the wrong way.
Come on.
Rest on my feet.
I can use a hand here.
Hey, quit being a crybaby. Get up. Shut the fuck up! Where you going? You're doing good! You gotta get back up!
I'm losing him, Eddie!
Quit fooling around!
Come on in!
Norby hangs onto a tiny piece of Vico's trousers.
What's the matter with you?
Norby loses his grip. The girder swings towards Eddie and Vico lands on top of him. Norby plummets downwards and lands on a pile of planks jutting out from the side of the building. Lying on his back, Vico opens his eyes and frowns.
Ed? Eddie?
Get off of me!
He's been lying on top of Eddie. Vico helps Eddie to his feet. Baby Bink is crawling along a square ventilation shaft below.
There he is!
There he is!
Come on, we'll take the steps!
Eddie nods at Vico as they spot a group of workmen nearby. A conical vat of cement is lifted off the ground by another crane. Norby, lying face down on the planks, exhales and a puff of dust lifts off the wood. Slowly, he puts his hands down in front of him and sits up, looking groggy. He adjusts his hat. The planks tip downwards and he slides off. He lands astride another steel girder and makes a face of discomfort. He falls forwards and tumbles through the sky. He drops headfirst into the vat of cement, which continues to be hauled upward. Eddie and Vico step gingerly to the edge of the building. A lift heads past, and Eddie tries to hide behind a pillar. The two crooks peer downwards.
He's coming back
Go, get ready!
The lift descends past their floor. Vico dangles his foot over the edge. Vico drops over the edge and plummets downwards. The lift stops and the workmen get out. Vico is standing on top of the lift, frozen in a squatting stance, as if halfway between sitting down and standing up. He keels over onto his back in the same rigid position. Eddie's remained on the upper floor looking down. Like a stiffly jointed robot, Vico turns himself over and straightens himself out. The lift starts to descend. Vico hangs over the edge of the building. He grabs a bar and lands on his back on another floor. Eddie frowns to himself and looks round. A switch is turned in the lift, which starts to ascend. Eddie heads down some stairs. Vico's head is jutting out from the edge of the building. The lift catches the back of it as it rises, knocking him out, but lifting him to a standing position. He tumbles forwards onto a trolley which starts to move across the floor of the building. Vico wakes and sits up. He tilts his head and gets to his feet. Eddie's still rushing down the staircase. Vico frowns as he becomes aware of his surroundings. The trolley stops and Vico flips off the side of the structure and plunges downwards. Eddie watches as Vico crashes into a pile of rubbish on the ground.
I lived.
Get back up here!
Some workmen fling the contents of a paint barrel over the side of the building, covering Vico. Eddie spots Bink nearby.
Come here, you little ball of grief!
He's on the edge of a gangway, which Baby's crawling along.
Now I gotcha! You ain't gonna crawl away from this one!
Eddie slips on a blob of grease and lands on his back on a floorboard, flipping a sledgehammer up into the air, which lands on his head. The little child stops and looks round at Eddie, who's gripping his forehead and banging the floor. Bink crawls off again. Eddie staggers slowly to his feet, still holding his head. He lurches backwards and forwards. He steadies himself by grabbing a rope, which pulls a lever on a machine above his head. A green light comes on marked dump. Above him is a cement mixer, which pours its load of thick, sloppy glue all over Eddie, as if he's just been covered in gallons of custard. Eddie simply stands there in a resigned fashion. He tries to walk away, but his feet slip and slide over the carpet of goo.
Ain't no nursery school battle of wits anymore. This is my 5'10" of guile, gut, and gristle versus your 2.5 feet of goo-goos, gagas, and giggles!
He slips over onto his back. He levers himself up against some scaffolding, still sliding around and struggling to stay upright.
Milwaukee mob couldn't kill me. No milk-puking little thumbsuckers got a candle stance in a cyclone a-getting the better of me.
Bink reaches the edge of the flooring jutting out over the side of the building.
Where are you going?
He peers over the edge at the tiny cars heading along the busy street way down below.
Come back here.
He sits and looks at Eddie.
This isn't funny anymore.
A platform is being lowered past Bink's floor.
My money!
Bink drops down onto it and sits himself up amongst the building materials. The gluey crook totters towards the building's edge and lies on his front. Many feet below him is the descending platform from which Bink is smiling up at him. The viscous yellow goo drips off Eddie's nose. He kneels and hauls himself up to a standing position. He looks up at the heavens and puts out his hands as if to say, now what? He becomes aware of a noise nearby and looks round. An industrial lifting hook with a large steel ball above it is being lowered by crane nearby. The hook comes round the corner towards him. As it moves past, Eddie jumps onto it, standing on the ball and gripping hold of the crane's cable. In his cabin, the crane driver looks at his watch. He pulls a lever and presses a couple of buttons. Eddie's still swinging around, standing on the large ball. The driver leaves his cabin. The workman's lift doors are closed, toolboxes are shut, blow lamps extinguished, blueprints are rolled up. The foreman leaves his office, time cards are punched. Eddie looks down at all the workmen leaving the site carrying their lunchboxes. The platform upon which Baby Bink hitched a ride reaches the ground. The workmen continue to stream out of the entry gates. Eddie is still standing on the steel ball attached to the crane cable suspended high up in the air above them. He looks down again. Baby Bink is at the rear of the group of exiting workers crawling across the dirt. Eddie watches helplessly as the baby crawls past two workmen chatting near the site entrance. One of them peers over the other's shoulder as Bink crawls out of the gate.
What?
I thought I saw a baby crawl around the corner.
Good night, doll.
Both men leave the site in opposite directions. At the entry gate, the sleeping workman opens his eyes. He gets up from his seat. Way above him, Eddie frowns to himself. There's a large sun in the evening sky. Eddie, stranded on the hook, is silhouetted against it as it starts to head down below the horizon. The last of the workmen leaves the site, having locked the gates behind him.
Bobby! Vico!
Ed! We're down here!
On the ground below him, Norby covered in cement and Vico covered in rubbish look up at Eddie, who shakes his head.
Hey, Ed!
Norby pulls off his hat. His bald head is clean.
We better go before I dry!
Baby from up there. Just hang on and we'll come on up and I got an idea.
Nighttime. At the Cartwell mansion, Agent Grissom strides into the drawing room where Mr. and Mrs. Cartwell are seated on a sofa. Gilbertine's next to them in an armchair.
I've got some news. I don't know if it's good, but it's not bad. Since the media broke the story, calls have been coming in. There was a report of a man looking for a lost baby on a bus this morning. A baby missing from a department store care center. Another at 3 o'clock at the zoo. Shortly after that, at a downtown park. And a final report not long ago at a building.
A building under construction.
Yeah, that's right.
Gilbertine stands up.
He's doing everything in the book.
She turns, thinking hard, then spins round.
I know where he is. Before returning home for supper, Nanny and Baby Boo stopped at the old soldier's home to visit Mr. Tinsel.
Mrs. Cartwell looks round at her husband with concern, then jumps up. A procession of police cars head out of the Cartwell's driveway. Baby Bink crawls to the top of a grassy incline and looks towards a colonial-style mansion house with an American flag fluttering on a flagpole in front of it. Inside, an elderly man with thick silver hair is watching a war movie on TV while sitting in a leather wing-backed chair. He looks round and spots the little baby crawling along the carpet towards him. He peers down at the child with surprise. The infant reaches his footstool and pulls himself up to standing. Another resident looks up from his jigsaw.
Come on over. It's the kid on television, the one that... Come on, that's it.
The fleet of cars stop outside the retirement home. Mr. and Mrs. Cartwell look at the building anxiously. Mrs. Cartwell rushes towards the mansion. Inside, Bink's sitting up on the footstool. The elderly residents are grouped around him, giving an impromptu concert.
Jones. No private rooms or telephones. You had your breakfast in bed before, but you won't get it there anymore. This is the Army, Mr. Brown. You and your baby went to town. She had you worried, but this is war, and she won't worry you anymore. No, she won't worry you anymore.
Bink chews his finger, looking delighted. The Cartwells rush into the wood-paneled room. They stop and look towards their baby, who gives them a huge smile. Mrs. Cartwell runs to him and picks him up. Mr. Cartwell joins them, stroking the little boy's hair. Grissom looks on and shakes his head. Gilbertine gives her employers an emotion-filled smile. Mrs. Cartwell kisses her son's head and face. The limousine heads back through the city over an embankment.
You had quite an adventure today.
It's what he calls his book. He lost it today. We'll get you another one, sweetheart.
Bink spots the sign above the Ovaltine factory.
What? What? Oh, I see. That's nice. That's not a boo-boo. That's a clock, a tick-tock. Was there a tick-tock in his book?
No.
Well, He's pointing to his boo-boo. He's not pointing to the tick-tock. He's pointing to his boo-boo. He wants his boo-boo.
I thought he was getting a new boo-boo.
He means his boo-boo's back there. That's where he's been.
Radio Rogers and McCluskey, tell him to turn around. We're going back to the tick-tock to get the boo-boo. Send for backup.
As the little child bounces excitedly on its seat, the limousine and a dark saloon car pull a U-turn in an empty street. A procession of patrol cars file out of the police station car park. The Cartwell's limousine is drawing closer to the old factory. Gilbertine and the Cartwell stare up at it, looking troubled. Baby Bink's grinning. Inside the apartment at the top of the building, Norby's on a sofa with his foot in a bucket of ice. Vico's wrapping a bandage around one of his hands. Eddie's in the other room, glue-free, wearing a vest and trousers.
Hey, Eddie. Sure you don't want to go check, see if they left the money?
Oh, that's a good idea. We get the living hell tore out of us by a baby. Three fully grown men versus 15 pounds of pink flesh with a mouth. Now, what chance you think we got of strolling into that alley and coming out with anything less than 140 years in prison? No, thank you. This is a hexed situation. We walk away while we're still ahead.
We took a licking and kept on ticking.
We'll go back to banks, dealing with grown-ups. I don't want no kiddie stuff.
We did all right with banks.
Or a convenience store every once in a while. Keep things interesting.
You know, I'll tell you one thing I learned from all this. I ain't never gonna have any kids on my own.
Yeah, seeing as you burnt down the only tree in your forest, I wouldn't worry about it.
Norby slaps Vico's bandaged hand.
Oh, why don't you shut up? I don't want to ever hear another word about that rotten snake bit baby.
He does up his shirt.
I'm serious.
Baby. Norby frowns at Vico.
I'm hearing that little vermin in my thoughts. I want to erase him from my mind.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Know what that sounds like?
Vico swallows and nods. Eddie looks confused and picks the Baby's Day Out book off the bed. He closes it up and thinks.
Boo-boo.
He moves back into the living room.
He's back.
The three hoodlums stagger towards a large circular window facing onto the street. Bright searchlights shine down on them. Police helicopters circle the factory. Police cars and the Cartwell limousine are parked below. A crowd of onlookers have gathered too. Eddie frowns as he surveys the scene, then looks shocked as he catches sight of Baby Bink.
You 30-something little stool pigeon!
You're surrounded. Throw down the boo-boo.
Grissom turns to Mrs. Cartwell and winks. Eddie ducks down under the open pane of the circular window. He flings the book up into the sky. It lands on the tarmac in front of the family. Mrs. Cartwell, carrying her child, steps forward and, crouching down, she retrieves the book. Bink taps it joyfully. He looks up. His captors put their hands up to their heads.
This is the end of the story.
Eddie winces as he looks down at the street below. Mrs. Cartwell kisses her son on the head. Gilbertine watches and smiles slightly. Grissom smiles to himself too. The final illustration is of a child sleeping in his bed with his parents standing in the doorway of his room. Mr. and Mrs. Cartwell stand at the doors to Baby Bink's bedroom.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, Bink.
The Cartwells start to pull the double doors of his room shut. Mrs. Cartwell puts out the light. The child pulls the duvet over his head.
Did I tell you? The baby's having his picture taken tomorrow.
Say hello to old Willie for me.
I will.
Baby Bink, in a little white romper suit, pulls himself up on his feet using the rail around his cot. Then he starts to remove one of the books on his bookshelf. He sits back down on his bed with a book and looks at the front cover that says, Baby's Trip to China. He starts to tap the cover excitedly and gives a big toothy grin. The end.
Thank you. Thank you.